This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We have a multitude of insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Well, they'll handle all of them for you. Make sure you're fully insured. Do everything they can to save you money because customer service means everything to them. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. It is always a pleasure to have a sit down and talk with the great Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Dennis, how you been?
Steve, how are you? It's great to be on again.
It's doing very well, and I know. I thought you had a great observation about Illinois-Nebraska. This is supposed to be Nebraska's coming out party when those two teams played, and that Illinois outlasted them and beat them. What impressed you about them?
I thought both coordinators had great days. Barry Lunny Jr. had been around a while, but Aaron Henry, the defensive coordinator, is a relative newcomer. And I thought the blitzes he dialed up against Nebraska in overtime, I don't know if I saw every play, but I don't think Dylan Raiola had seen those in that game. And that was the difference in the game down the stretch, and that was clutch. Brett Bielema likes to be physical. These teams are physical. And also the interception by Torrey Cox Jr. On, I think it's Isaiah Naylor from Nebraska, could have turned the course of both school seasons, frankly. I mean, if that's a touchdown, which it initially was, when you watch it, Nebraska probably wins that game. But it wasn't. It was an interception, very clutch again. And I think it's an opportunistic team. It's a danger for Penn State tomorrow.
Yeah, no question. They're opportunistic. I think they make relatively few mistakes, especially Altmyer, the quarterback, who's really turned himself around, Dennis.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 touchdowns, no picks, I think screams a lot about how much better he is.
Yeah, he leads FBS in that category, most touchdowns without an interception. I agree. I mean, they brought something out in him that wasn't there at Ole Miss. And I think Brett Bielema's loosened up the play calling. You're not going to play like Wisconsin when you're in Illinois anyway, but they destroyed Kansas in that game a couple of weeks ago. Four turnovers by the quarterback, who, by the way, there's an offshoot story there. They are dying for Andy Kotelnicki at Kansas right now because they are 1-3, turning the ball over all over the place, lost their identity. And obviously what he's done at Penn State has been very, very good. But, I was really impressed watching that game because that was an ambush game because everybody knew that was a big game. Right. But Nebraska still hasn't beaten a ranked team since 2016. And, like, if that was ever an opportunity, it was that one. It wasn't number 5 Michigan. It was number 22 Illinois or 24, whatever it was.
Right. Yeah, but you're trying to get past somebody.
Yeah.
And they're, 1-6 or 1-7 now in games decided by 7 points or less since the start of last season. Illinois, conversely, 7-3.
Go back to the beginning of Scott's loss. It's one of the reasons he got fired, like all these one-possession losses. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, and Illinois, 7-3 in those same games.
What did I just say about Torrey Cox? I mean, that was the difference in the game.
I agree. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. He's not a big corner, and everybody keeps trying to replace him, and he keeps doing stuff where, well, we can't replace him. He's the best guy we got out there, and he's playing really well, and he literally took the ball away because under the category, if he wanted him more, he did.
Yeah, it was an interpretation of the rules, like, the Nebraska receiver caught it and yep. crossed the goal line with the ball in his hands. And I thought, well, touchdown, right? No,
yep.
you have to control it to the ground, except it wasn't controlled to the ground until somebody or the other had it. And it turned out Cox, after they wrestled around, had it. So I think it was the right call. I'm sure Nebraska people don't like it, but I thought it was the right one.
Right. Obviously, a lot of movement going on. Now, is it significant movement? This is not Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. It's not the West Coast teams going to the Big Ten. But I am giving the Pac-12 to this point an A to an A-plus for survival. And I'm giving the Mountain West at the moment a B if they go with Toledo and Northern Illinois of attempting to survive. How are you viewing this group of five movement that's going on right now?
Well, I'm writing about it right now. You know, the bane of my existence. I can't help but write about it because it keeps going on and on and on. But, before any of this started, like this summer, let's say, going into the 12-team playoff, to me there wasn't any question that the Mountain West was the premier group of five conference and would be. Right. And it stayed that way. They were going to produce that team in most years, 8 out of 9, 9 out of 10, that was going to get that number five spot. And if the listeners don't remember or don't know, top five ranked conference champions mm-hmm. get automatic spots, top four get by. So that number five spot was always going to be kind of that group of five champion. Well, mm-hmm. that was the Mountain West. The Pac-12 had gone away. You had this kind of, you know, Oregon State and Washington State were de facto independents, and they pulled a power play by getting those, what was it, five schools now mm-hmm. from the Mountain West, which was always kind of out there. Steve, I wrote about it last August when on a conference call, the San Diego State president suggested something like this, and everybody freaked out. I found out about it and wrote about it, and they were denying it. Oh, no, that's irresponsible. I don't know. I absolutely knew that happened, and that's what eventually what happened. So they got their way. What I don't know is how much value these two conferences are apart than they would be together. You know what I mean? If they were merged, I think there'd be a lot more meat on the bone here. Apart, talking to industry, you know, sources and insiders, TV types that do this, it's a nothing burger for both. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the way I've categorized it is I'll give them A pluses for survival, C plus, C to C plus for inventory. It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you saw, I don't know if you saw my tweet last night, but when the Toledo and Northern Illinois thing came up.
Yeah, I read it. I read it on the air.
Airmiles.com, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Folks, it's closer from Toledo to London than it is from Toledo to Hawaii, which they would be in the same conference with.
Yeah. And they'd both be, by the way, football-only members, if I understand it right.
So, yes, I believe that's true.
And then Northern Illinois is the other one that they're looking at. Any reaction from anybody in the MAC that you've heard to this point, or is everybody at the moment laying low?
I haven't dived in. John Steinbrecher is not returning calls. I'm sure he's not happy about it, but I'm sure he understands it. He's a commissioner. And look, those two were, if anything was going to happen, those two were the most likely candidates, you know, whatever juice they've got. Northern Illinois, what year was it? Oh, the year before that playoff started. It must have been 13. Northern Illinois played in the Orange Bowl.
Yes.
Against Jimbo Fisher's Florida State team. Went 13-1. Got killed in the bowl, but they were a BCS bowl team that year.
Yep,
we thought they did to Notre Dame. They played up, you know, as it were. They've committed themselves financially to football. Toledo as well. It's kind of a cradle of coaches, the people they've produced out there. And Jason Candle, I don't understand why he's still there. He should be at a Power 5 or Power 4 somewhere by now, but good on him. He's done a great job there.
No question. So what about the chip called Texas State? What do they potentially mean in this?
Recruiting. You know, you can say you're in Texas. You know, it's one small reason, I guess, why the ACC went with SMU, although that was as a backfill in case Florida State or Clemson left. They needed to have, I think, the contract said you had to have, 15 teams. Now they have 17, so they wanted to backfill in case those two left or more. But, yeah, and Texas State has been committed to football. They've done a great job. But if you've been to San Marcos, Texas, and you've been there, it ain't Happy Valley, let me tell you that.
It is not. But I think it's like the 12th or 13th year they've played FBS football. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're the one that they fight over in the Pac. I think the Pac-12 is going to attempt to lead the fight to do it.
I mean, Steve, look, at this point, we're just talking about warm bodies. You know,
exactly.
When Missouri joined the SEC in 13, I just said, I get the money. You know, okay, great, fine. But they left all their culture and history behind and still have. Getting a lot of money, but people ask me, why did they go to the SEC? And I said, beyond the money, they were a warm body. Mike Slide needed a Western equivalent to Texas A&M at the time to round out the conference. And that's why Missouri's in there, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And let's face it, financially, it's worked out fine for them.
They
sacrificed their identity to do it.
Yeah, and they were very good last year. They were 11-2, beat Ohio State, and they're one of those teams that if they duplicate what they did last year into this year, then they're going to be in the playoff. So it will all have been worth it, I suppose.
February looks like it's an important month for the ACC because of the ESPN opt-in to go to 2036. What is your view of that at this point?
I have heard nothing except that ESPN is going to pick it up, the option to go to 2036, because why would you not? You get cost certainty, you get a bargain, you know, because that price is locked in and it's only going to go up if you do a new contract. Now, within that, you've got a situation now where it looks like the ACC is going to keep Florida State and Clemson with weighted shares. It looks like a lot of conferences are going that way. And within that, if I read the reporting right, they may move the grant of rights, the contract up for the grant of rights to 2030. So I don't see any reason why ESPN would not. The conspiracy theorist in me, you know, I'm thinking about Michael Alford, the AD at Florida State. I said, does he have some information that ESPN's not going to pick this up? And he's playing the long game. Because at that point, if they don't pick it up, the contract ends in 27. Florida State can say, right now, we're not going to renew. Our grant of rights, you know, we're done. And they're out. They become a free agent. But then the discussion has never changed off the fact that there's nobody that's going to take Florida State or Clemson right now. I've had it told to my face, the Big Ten, no. The SEC, no. I mean, frankly, the most valuable piece right now might be North Carolina.
Yes.
Because of their brand value. I asked somebody, why is North Carolina so valuable? And I forget who even had told me this, but they said, it was a marketing person. They said that shade of blue, Carolina blue, not even attached to the logo, that shade of blue is recognized by 70% of sports fans. Yep. That's saying something. Yeah. Now, so that explains a little bit why they're so popular.
Well, when you have it labeled as Carolina blue, the pure label, just the label, tells you everything about that the average person knows right away what it is.
Yeah, and they're one of the biggest Nike flagships. Obviously, basketball is good. Football is representative. Academics are all right there. So they really add everything.
So let me ask you about the grant of rights being moved back to 2030 instead of 36 and all that. Is that the ACC's compromise to help out here, or what's the reasoning behind that?
I think that was, I don't know if it's a compromise. It was like, yeah, okay, we'll do this weighted share, and we'll move it up to 2030. That may be everybody wants that now. because you know what 2030 is? 2030 and 2031, Steve,
yep.
is coterminous. And coterminous means everybody's contract ends at once.
Yep.
So if everybody's looking for this breakaway or separation or you know SEC Big Ten move out, that's when it's going to happen, when these media rights deals expire. So I think it's convenient for the ACC, again, not to be left behind and have the conference break up on its own, than to have everybody be the same. And if there is a deal to be done, then they can all do it at the same time when everybody else is going to market. So I think that's part of that. I think that's smart.
Right. No, I agree with that reasoning. Because when I was in Florida speaking to a Penn State group, it's only natural that it was brought up to me that from uh-huh. somebody in the audience about essentially Florida State. And they said, what about moving to 20? And I said, my answer was, well, I'd like to see how 18 works first.
Yeah.
And by 2030, the SEC will know how 16 works, and the Big Ten will know how 18 works. I think it helps their decisions. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
Yeah, there's a reason the Big Ten and the SEC, I don't think, want to do anything right now, because they haven't done, you just said it, they haven't done it with 18 or 16 yet. Let's see how that works out. I mean, there's a thing out there right now, and I wrote about it yesterday. There are like four or five possibilities, and this is going to happen in the SEC, if not this year, soon, where there are so many good teams and they're so highly rated that they're going to play three times in a year. And I'm not even making any judgments on it. It's going to happen. Look at tomorrow, Georgia, Alabama. Well, that easily could be the first of three meetings. Okay,
yes.
The loser stays in contention, wins the conference championship game, which is nothing more than for seeding, and they meet again in the playoffs. That could easily happen.
Yeah.
We haven't even been through that. People don't even know what that looks like. They don't want another mouth to feed, because this has been hard enough below that level, below the SEC and Big Ten level. So I think those 34 brands are the best you can get right now. The market has spoken. It's those 34 teams that the TVs want, give or take a Vanderbilt or Purdue or something like that.
Right. That's exactly right. You can just see in the ratings. I mean, the ratings tell you what the brands are. And you're right, they can meet three times along the way, because no matter who loses the game, they are not falling far in the ratings, in the rankings. And right now, the college football playoff rankings aren't even out anyway.
And look, I think one of those teams could lose twice and get in and have a rematch in the playoff. But I think that if it came to me, and we may have talked about this in another show, an earlier show, it came to me when the 12-team playoffs started automatic. November 30th, Ohio State, Michigan. Oh, that could easily happen. Yes, it could. Michigan, it's not going to happen this year. Michigan's not as good. But the depth of the SEC, I just told you there's five combinations I can give you off the top of my head where it could happen this year. And I bet it will. And I let the fans decide what that means. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even saying it's bad. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't say it was bad either until we see how it plays out and people go, okay, look, I'm sick of, you could get the, okay, again. Or you could get, hey, let's see the third time. The first two were really great. I mean, because it happens in the NFL all the time. They play three times in a year.
Yeah. Well, you remember the first time it happened in 11. Alabama, LSU, the rematch in New Orleans. There were 50,000 people outside the stadium that couldn't get in with tickets. Mm-hmm. But as I recall, the ratings were terrible. Like, people just didn't want to see it again. Remember that first meeting was 9-6 in overtime?
No. It was brutal in Tuscaloosa.
And the game itself, right, the game itself was Alabama, trucking them 21-0, LSU. So, I think that's something to look at, how the ratings would be. We're talking about superpowers. They would be doing some kind of number, I think.
Yeah, I think Florida State had a rematch in the Sugar Bowl. Same thing. The ratings weren't as great as they thought it would be.
Yep, in 2000 or 01.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it. Where are you going to be this weekend?
I needed a blow. I'm at home.
Good.
I've been out like 5 weeks, so I'll be back in it. I'll see you. I will see you for the Ohio State game.
Oh, great. Good.
I'll be there, among other things, yeah.
Looking forward to it then. That'd be great.
Yep.
Dennis, Thank you so much. As always, enjoy. Put your feet up. Okay? Just kick back and do nothing.
That's, well, I'll be writing, but not the not in an overly hot or overly cold press box.
You got that right. Dennis. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
RC, thank you.
The outstanding Dennis Dodd. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They're just pros, pros who are great people. They'll do everything they can to save you money. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKO.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Okay.